بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الذي يقرأ القرآن وهو ماهر به مع السفرة الكرام البررة، والذي يقرأ القرآن ويتتعتع فيه وهو عليه شاق، له أجران. متفق عليه. Complete the hadith which we began the discussion yesterday. When it comes to acquiring the knowledge of the Quran, reciting the Quran, memorizing the Quran, learning the Quran, you will find, like in any other field of pursuit in the world, there will be individuals will vary in the degree of their excellence and ability. Some Allah Ta'ala has naturally blessed them. They will find something easy, they have very good memory, good linguistic ability, etc. So they will excel. On the other hand, there will be those who don't have that level of ability and are struggling. So both groups are addressed in this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first mentioned the group where he said, "Mahirum bihi," the one who recites the Quran, acquires the knowledge of Quran, and he has excelled in it. What will be his station, position? Allah will elevate him. Allah will honor him. Why? Because the best amongst you is the one who learns and teaches the Quran. So Allah will elevate him with the angels of Allah, the noble, lofty scribes and obedient angels of Allah. Bi'aydi safara, kiramim barara. Those angels which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises in the Quran. On the other hand, that first part of the hadith we discussed yesterday. The second, وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ, and the one who reads the Qur'an, acquires the knowledge of Qur'an, وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ. تَعْتَعْ, يَتَتَعْتَعْ literally refers to someone who stutters. In other words, he's struggling. وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ, finds it very difficult. Sometimes maybe to articulate the words of the Qur'an is difficult for him. To remember the Quran, to memorize it, is encountering difficulty. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, should he lose hope? Should he become despondent? Should he give it up? No. Lahu ajran. He will get double reward. What is meant by double reward? One is the ajr and the reward of learning. And over and above that, Allah Ta'ala's mercy, Allah's kindness. Today, you tell someone, bhai, do something. Carry this from here to here. For transporting this, I'm going to give you so much. 10 rand or 20 rand or whatever. Now, while transporting it, this person hurts his leg, hurts his back. It starts raining. He encounters some difficulty. But he fulfills the task and the mission, you're still going to pay him the same amount, 10 rand or 20 rand, what was agreed upon. Allah's mercy is such that not only does Allah reward you for doing the action, the difficulty that you experience in carrying out that function or task or that action, that also Allah rewards you. This is told to us in Quran also, that nothing goes to waste. Nothing goes to waste, to the extent that a thorn that pricks a believer, that also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him and rewards him for it. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that ajruki ala qadri nasabik. Aisha, Allah is going to reward you to the extent that you encountered difficulty and hardship. So the one who is struggling in learning and acquiring the knowledge of Quran and reciting the Quran, he will get double reward. Awwal ajr litilawa wa thani litab wal mashaqqa. Allah is going to reward him, one for his tilawat, and over and above that, the tiredness, the difficulty, the hardship, the struggling. Obviously, when you something is sharp and difficulty, then mentally also you have to fight your nafs, you have to go against your nafs. Because instinct will be give it up. Instinct will be leave it. But if you persevere For that also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward you. Obviously, the rank of the first category will still be higher, the one who has excelled in the Qur'an. But this hadith, the second part of it, is there in order to give encouragement to the one who is finding difficulty, that don't give it up. Allah Ta'ala will reward you, one, for acquiring the knowledge of Qur'an, and secondly, Allah Ta'ala will double reward you for the difficulty and the hardship that you are experiencing. So, the objective is to give encouragement for the one who is acquiring the knowledge of Qur'an to persevere in his endeavors and pursuits. Wa Nabi Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل المؤمن الذي يقرأ القرآن مثل الأترجة ريحها طيب وطعمها طيب ومثل المؤمن الذي لا يقرأ القرآن كمثل التمرة لا ريح لها وطعمها حلو ومثل المنافق الذي يقرأ القرآن كمثل الريحانة ريحها طيب وطعمها طيب ومثل المنافق الذي لا يقرأ القرآن كمثل الحنظلة ليس لها ريح وطعمها مر متفق عليه. One of the principles of what we call eloquent speech is to give parables and examples, particularly examples that your audience, those you are addressing, they are able to relate to such examples. And we find this in many, many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam often would impress the importance of things upon the sahaba by way of examples. And despite his superior intelligence, the examples that he would give were such that these were simple people. Particularly in the case of Medina Munawwara, they were people of the soil. Their background was that related with agriculture, with farming, etc. So the examples Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them were those that they could easily relate to. As we see in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, four categories of people are mentioned. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes each one or relates each one with one type of fruit. The first category is that person of strong iman, a true believer who recites the Quran. The second is that true believer, iman is kamil, his iman is there, he is a true believer, he is not a munafiq, but he does not recite the Quran. He hasn't created that bond and link and attachment with the Quran. The third category Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions is that munafiq. The environment in Madinah Munawwara was such that there were a large number of people that were pretending to be Muslims. Allah tells us in the Quran, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. That the munafiqeen, they come to you and they say, verily, without a doubt, innaka la rasulullah, you are definitely Allah's Rasul. Allah knows you are His Rasul, but Allah is giving testimony that they are speaking lies. In other words, outwardly they were pretending to be believers. The heart, na'uzu billah, was full with nifaq and hypocrisy. They did not truly believe. So that category existed in Medina Munawwara. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the shan of his akhlaq and character, but not like you and I, he didn't name and shame any of them. They pretended to be believers, so outwardly he would ostensibly pretend to accept them. He would not name and shame them and say, you are a munafiq, you're lying, etc. Allah's Rasulullah tolerated them with the hope and the desire that eventually they would make tawbah and truly accept Islam, which, as a result of the beautiful akhlaq and compassion and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, history bears witness, many of them did make tawbah and many of them did come back to Islam or accept Islam correctly. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like I said, the third category, he mentions the munafiqeen of Medina Munawwara, the hypocrite who reads the Quran. So what is his example? And then that munafiq or that hypocrite who doesn't read the Quran, what is his example? So these four categories, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives an example of certain types of fruit. These fruit, some of them are not common to us, but we will endeavor to some extent to try to explain the underlying wisdom that is contained in the examples which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given. Obviously, Allah's Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his examples, he was Jawamiul Kalim, he would say a few words, they would be voluminous in meaning. So we can find many principles by which we will can explain the beautiful nuances, cliches, etc. that are contained in the examples which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave. Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala says that Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the example of that believer who recites the Quran, one is a person of Iman, over and above that, he has attached himself to the Quran. His example is that of a citron. What is the outward thing that normally people of that time, when it comes to a citron, which is similar to a citrus fruit, similar to, if you know, in our layman's or in our understanding, related to an orange. Rihuha tayyib. It has a beautiful fragrance. And ta'muha tayyib. Its taste also is very beautiful. So, it is has a luscious taste also, and it gives off a beautiful fragrance. To complete the first part of the hadith, unfortunately there are time constraints. وَمَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَلَّذِي لَا يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. So, first compare these two. One is a mu'min that reads Qur'an. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said he's like a citron, or for our understanding, like an orange. Beautiful taste also, and beautiful fragrance also. And the example of a mu'min who doesn't read the Qur'an. He has Iman, but he doesn't read the Qur'an. He hasn't created that attachment with the Qur'an. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said his example is like a date. What we know about a date? Khajur. It doesn't have any fragrance. Khajur, there's no smell or scent. But the taste is beautiful. So, in other words, the inside is luscious and beautiful. Why? Because of the Iman that he has. Outwardly, because he doesn't read the Quran, his that fragrance that is inside is not passed on. Others are not benefiting from it. When a person gives off a beautiful fragrance, you are attracted, you want to come closer. So Qari al-Quran, the one who reads the Quran, whose life is according to the Quran, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he is like that fruit, inside and outside, both are attractive. Why? Because ulama mentioned the first basis, they say, At-ta'mu bin nisbati ila nafsihi. When the inside is correct, in other words, Iman, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam related this to taste. And وَالْرِيحْ مِنْ نِسْبَ إِلَى السَّامِعِ. When it comes to fragrance, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam related it to those who listen, those who he comes into contact with. يَسْتَرِيحُ النَّاسِ بِرَائِحَتِهَا. People get rahat. Anything. Sometimes something has a foul smell, you want to run away from it. Something has a beautiful smell, you are naturally attracted to it. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the example of that person, keeps the Quran in himself, keeps his Iman within himself. So his inside is pure, but outside he is not purified. He's not attractive. One who reads the Quran gives off this beautiful fragrance, like this fruit gives this beautiful fragrance. Obviously, there are other aspects to this example. Like I said, we've run out of time, inshallah, we'll continue.